You want to open to Luke chapter 5. We're going to get a few verses there, and then we're going to go on to a couple of other brief passages. Well, I want to ask you a couple of questions, okay? And I need your honest response. I know the answers to some of these. That's why I'm laughing. Have you ever noticed how fast gossip spreads? It's amazing to me. There is a whole theory of gossip. I don't know if you realize that. There's been a study. It's called mimesis. It's a study of the science of how gossip spreads. The funny part about gossip is this, that gossip seems to spread because you're talking about somebody who's not present, whether it's true or false. Anyway, I want to clarify this. If you are talking about a person and they're not there, and even though what you say may be true, it's still gossip, all right? Because you're really talking behind their back. But most times, gossip is just rumors and all that stuff that goes with it, and it spreads like wildfire. It spreads like wildfire. Nobody here has ever been involved in it, right? It's not nice to lie in church, okay? Have you ever noticed that most of the news that's reported in newspapers today, most of it is negative, correct? Whether it's newspapers, cable channels, news channels, network news, the internet, most of it is negative. You heard about, unfortunately, the bombing in Seaside yesterday. There was a bomb device that was set off right at the start line for a race that was there for the Marines. Fortunately, the race was delayed, and the bomb went off before the start of the race. So in this case, nobody got hurt. But it could have been disastrous, right? But that news, it was breaking news, bulletin, breaking news, right? Seaside Heights. Then overnight in New York, a bomb went off. Same type of deal. 29 people hurt. Nobody seriously, so they say, but 29 people hurt. And this news spreads like wildfire. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be informed. I'm not saying we shouldn't be aware. But I don't know if you're like me. I get tired of hearing bad news. Do you? Does it start to affect you at some point? I really start to get tired of hearing bad news. The other thing that's really tiring me out is that when I'm looking at a television, you know, whether I'm looking at a Yankee game, the few that are on, or something that to try to go to brain dead for a little bit, and the commercials come on, and I and now we got the political ads on both sides of the aisle. You know, both are guilty here. And all they're doing is shouting at each other and saying the bad things about each other. And it's like, all right, come on, give me a break. We have this constant barrage of stuff thrown at us constantly. And then what's worse, you go into the workplace, for those of you who still work, and you got to deal with the stuff that goes on there. I mean, isn't that true? Some of you who are in service-oriented things, you walk in, and first thing I'm sure you do is get complaints. Those of you who work in companies where you're part of a bigger company and you face your boss, how many times does your boss tell you something bad before he says anything good? Which is not the way he's supposed to do it, but these things happen. There is good news. There really is good news. And I really want to underline this today because the bad news, there's good news and bad news, all right? That's life. There's good news and bad news. The bad news is that because people are sinful, and what sinful means is that we are born with this natural inclination not to do what pleases God. Isn't that correct? I wasn't born with a halo over my head. Were you? Okay. We're born with that natural inclination. Now, just because we're born with that natural inclination doesn't give us the right or the justification to do wrong things. They're still wrong. How do we know they're wrong? Well, we know they're wrong because the Word of God tells us they're wrong. If you ever want to do a self-test, You can go to Exodus 20 anytime. Exodus 20 is where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, familiar passage. You probably won't get past the first three if you ever want to see how deep sinfulness is in our lives. That sinfulness causes a huge gap between us and God. And the root of sinfulness is pride and arrogance. And from that pride and arrogance comes evil. Isn't that true? It comes evil. And evil being that people who are bent on doing bad things will do bad things. Right? They'll do bad things. So, what do we do with this? I want to bring you back to Scripture. This is Luke. I'm on the wrong passage. Can you bring me up? This is Luke. Luke recording the words of Jesus and what happened as, from Luke's eyes. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, Simon Peter, Peter the impetuous apostle, he fell at the knees of Jesus. Let me just frame this out for you. The fishermen had been out all night. They didn't catch anything. Jesus, in calling his apostles together, wanted to use this as a lesson. So he told Peter and his crew, put the boats out again and you're going to catch a lot of fish. Peter thought he was nuts. Well, they put the nets out and they caught a lot of fish and the nets started breaking. So when Peter saw this, he said, he knelt down, he said, go away from me, Lord. I am what? A sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James, John, the sons of Zebedee, and Simon's partners. And so, since the 11 went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when they saw him, they worshipped him. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven has been given to me. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. When Jesus taught Peter and his crew this and he called them to follow him, what he was saying is, listen, I want you to walk with me. I want you to learn. I want to teach you. And I want you then to go out with a mission, and that is to take the good news of Jesus to hurting people. Remember this. First of all, Jesus called a ragtag band of people to be his disciples. Let me put it to you this way. Every one of them was a mess. Every one of them was a mess. Peter was a crude fisherman. Levi, as we know as Matthew, was a thief and a tax collector. There were some other shady characters in there, Simon the Zealot. He was a militant trying to overthrow the Roman government. I mean, all sorts of messes that Jesus calls. For me, that's good news. That's good news because there's hope for me. And it is hope for all of us because sin makes a mess of our lives. There's no other way to say it. Sin makes a mess of our lives. And so Jesus calls these guys together and he teaches them over 3.5 years. And what he'll do, you know, periodically send them out to minister to people. But he sends them with a purpose, and the purpose is simply this. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Or men and women. And you're going to go out and bring the good news that for sinful people, I'm going to the cross to die for them, to pay the penalty for their rebellion. This next passage in Matthew goes into that commission. This is Christ giving the commission to the disciples. The risen Christ, by the way, after Easter. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And here's the commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, and truly I am with you always to the end of the age. I want you to notice that those of us who have come to faith in Christ, those of us who know that Christ went to the cross personally for my sin to pay the penalty, and we've trusted that by simple faith, we have a commission. We are not saved just to sit in a seat. God doesn't do that. We have a purpose. Some of you over the years may have read Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. If you have ever read Rick Warren's book, it's built all around this, that God has a purpose for every life. Every life. For those who come by faith and trust what Christ did for them on the cross, he gives us not only forgiveness, that's been won at the cross, we don't have to work for it, Jesus paid it already. He gives us new purpose. He gives us new life. You know, there's a whole hurting world out there. And in this hurting world, there needs to be good news. There needs to be good news. I work with young people a lot. I work with older people a lot. I work with older people who wish they were young. A lot. A lot. But we all have something in common. We're all trying to figure this journey out, aren't we? We all are. Try to understand what's happening around us. Try to understand what's happening in us. To try to make sense of stuff that we experience and encounter. We have to get rid of something that has been propagated, I think. Either on purpose or not on purpose, it just happens. Sometimes we want a God who's like Santa Claus, right? In other words, we want a God who does things our way, right? We want a God who does things our way. Listen to me. God doesn't do things our way. The God of the Bible is the God of holiness. He's the God of righteousness. And one day he will make right all the wrongs. I'm fully confident in that. However, because my mind is finite and my mind is tainted by sin, I can't fully see the whole picture. Only God can. Here's where faith comes in. I have to have faith that God knows what he's doing. He created me, created you. I have to have faith that not only does he know what he's doing, but he knows what's best for me. Even though sometimes I don't understand it. So here he is with his ragtag team, at this point of 11 people, because Paul is not on the scene yet. But he has this ragtag team made up of questionable characters who have been following him for 3.5 years as he taught them first to have compassion for people. You need to meet people where they are. Otherwise, they're not going to be interested in what you say. They have to know you care. They have to know that you genuinely care. Otherwise, they're not going to care what you say. Jesus taught them how to do that. He taught them to not sugarcoat what the Bible calls sin, but he taught people that there's a solution for our sin. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. And so he says, I am going to make you fishers of people. Now, I've used this illustration many times before. Here's the illustration. Some of you are fish. You fish. I know that. Some don't. I do my fishing at ShopRite. But when you catch fish, in order for you to eat them, what do you have to do? Clean them. But I've never seen anybody catch a fish that's already been gutted. Have you? When Jesus calls people to him, he says, "You come just as you are." I know you're a sinful mess. We all are. But you come just as you are. And by faith, know that he came to die for you on the cross of Calvary in your place. Another way of saying this is God loves you so much that if you were the only person on earth, he would still have sent Jesus to die for you, for your sin. And if you really believe that, and you really know that the way you are going is sinful against God, or you're rebelling against God, he says, by faith, just turn away from that. Turn to me. Trust what I did for you on the cross and follow me. And then he says, I know you're a fish and I know you stink, but I'll start to clean you up little by little. Step by step, as you follow me. That's the good news. That's the good news. Jesus at the cross defeated sin. He defeated Satan. He defeated death. Jesus has the authority to give us our marching orders, doesn't he? He does it here. This is not only meant for disciples of the time. This is meant for the whole church. Our commission is to go out beyond these walls and bring good news to people. Now, we do that based on Jesus' power and his authority. That's what the passage says. But let me say to you, we don't do it arrogantly, and we don't do it without love. And we don't do it without compassion. You know what Jesus taught the disciples? He taught them to build relationships. Build relationships. Remember what he did with Matthew? Matthew is extorting people in his tax booth and charging them far more than Rome ever required. And Peter goes up to the booth and he says to Levi, who we know is Matthew, he says, come follow me. I know you're a thief. You come follow me. And says, Matthew just left and started following him. But Matthew had a party. And I'm sure it wasn't a proper party, if I could put it that way. And he invited Jesus. What did Jesus do? He went. And he was among the people. And at that party, as he built a relationship with Matthew, he had the opportunity to say, hey, Matthew, let me tell you what I am here to do. I am here to die for you. I am here to die for your sin, to take the penalty for your sin, which is death. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to die and take your penalty. All you need to do is trust me, and you'll be forgiven. And then, Matthew, what I'd like you to do is follow me. Grow, follow, and I'll give you a new purpose for this life. Matthew responds. The other thing I want you to look at is that we are to go and share the gospel without prejudice. You know what I mean by that? That means the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to die for us and rose again from the dead to pay for our sins so we can have new life, new purpose. That goes beyond any ethnic group or color or any difference. It is meant for all people. All people. I'll read this to you literally in the original language. It says, go, therefore, make disciples of all ethnic groups. That's the literal meaning. Of all ethnic groups. So that means the cross is available for everyone. Everyone. Not just us here, for us in Forked River. Not just for white folk. Not just for you know, any particular race, this, Jesus died for the whole world. For God so loved what? The world, that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We are to teach. One of the mistakes we make when we have the opportunity to build a relationship with somebody and lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is we have the tendency of just leaving them there. And the Bible says we need to come alongside of them and help them along the way. That's what discipleship is. We need to we want to see them grow. We want to see them flourish in their new walk. We need to model and teach them obedience. One of the things that you need to know is this. Nobody believes a phony. Okay? So, if I'm here saying to you there's good news about Christ and what he did for you, that's the truth. But if after the service today you saw me walking drunk down Route 9, what would you think? I mean, seriously, what would you think? Is this guy really for real? Is he credible? You know, what's he doing? You know, all of you know my wife. If you saw me out whining and dining with a different woman, what would you think? People recognize phonies very quickly. And that goes for all of us, in particular our young people. It's uncanny. Our young people can spot somebody who's a hypocrite a mile away. And Jesus is saying, you need to walk with me, and I'll change you little by little, but you need to be authentic and honest. You're not perfect. You're still sinners saved by grace. But each day, as you obey me by faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll make you more like me, Jesus says. But come walk with me. And we need to help each other do that. That's why we have Bible studies and discipleship groups and men's groups and that type of thing. We're to help each other grow. And then we are to go with Christ. You see, God is the evangelist. God opens people's hearts and eyes. I can't do that. Only God can. You can't do it. Only God can. But we need to be his ambassadors for the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the one who prepares a person. We need to encourage people and mentor them with the grace of God. Now, I want to make something very clear. The Great Commission, this is called the Great Commission. It's the commission to the disciples, hence to the church, to go and make disciples. This is nothing new. This started with Abraham way back in the Old Testament. When God called Abraham, he said this, I'm going to make you the father of a nation, meaning Israel. Right? I'm going to make you the father of the nation. Here's your purpose. Your light should shine so much that other nations are attracted to me, to God. God was never meant to be monopolized. And so Israel's commission was live in obedience to me. Let your light shine. Live with compassion to other people so that you would reflect the character of God and the love of God so others are attracted to you. That covenant was repeated with Jacob and in the prophets. And then we come to the Great Commission, and then we come to a passage, I think, in Acts. Can you bring me there? Okay. And this is, again, the risen Christ just reaffirming to the apostles before the day we call Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came upon the people. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? Witness. What's a witness? A witness testifies to what they saw, correct? You heard me say this many times. For those of you who have come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he paid the penalty on the cross for you, in your place 2,000 years ago, you have a great story. You have a great story. Here's the way the story reads, generally speaking. Everybody has different experiences, I know that. But generally speaking, here's how the story reads. Before I met Christ, I was a mess. Okay? You realize you could be a very, very sophisticated mess, right? Messes don't show up a lot of times externally. But before Christ, I was a mess, and sin makes a mess of our lives, okay? When I heard about the love of God, that he sent his only son to die for me on the cross, and by childlike faith, I accepted that and asked God to come into my heart. Now I know I've been forgiven of my sin, past, present, future. I know Christ lives in me through the Holy Spirit. And I know God will take this mess, if I let him, and he'll make something beautiful out of it. And that's a lifetime. That's a lifetime. We sing a song, and I'm not sure if this is the title, so I'll defer to the music people. But there's a chorus in the song that says, he makes beauty from ashes. He makes beauty from ashes. Oh. He'll do that for anyone. Anyone. No matter what your background is. No matter how much of a mess you are. He'll do that for anyone who's willing to come to him by faith. So, church. Two more quick things. I want you to notice the progression. You will be my witness where? In Jerusalem? And then in all Judea, then Samaria, then to where? The ends of the earth. Where does this start? Right here. Right here. Lacey Township, Toms River, if you need it, live in Toms River. Barnegat, if you live in Barnegat, or Weartown, or Whiting, if you live. You go into your world and tell your story. Your story is your story. Don't be afraid to tell your story. You tell it in love. You tell it in compassion. But you tell it to people once they know you care about them. And you earn the right to tell them. Because your story is powerful. Why? Because it's a God story. That's why. And so, let me ask you just three things. Are you willing to go into your world where you live? Are you willing to build relationships with people and show them that you care with the love of Christ? That's one of the reasons why we did the summer lunch program for the kids. It's one of the reasons why we do the winter coat giveaway. So we can reach out from these walls and say to people, we care. We care. Okay. We need to build relationships with people so that you might earn their permission to tell them about God and his great grace and love in Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ. Are you willing to do that? Two simple questions. But somebody once said that the church is always one generation away from extinction. Remember at the beginning of the service I said how gossip spreads quickly? God has entrusted us with the best news in the world. The best news in the world. It is the only hope for people. And he says, don't be silent. Love people with the love of Christ and share the cross of Christ with people. Are you willing to make that commitment? One of the things that Mary Lou and I do when we're on vacation is that we'll visit other churches. And one of the good things about that, for me anyhow, is that when we visit other churches, we see the body of Christ is still very much alive and well. That there are churches that are still being faithful to doing what God has called them to do. And so whether we are in Wildwood and we go to a church and worship in Wildwood, we never leave the family of God. And that's a really, really freeing thing. And yet I know when we leave Wildwood, that church is still faithful to the Great Commission. We need to be faithful to the Great Commission no matter what. No matter what. If you have any more questions about this, please see me after the service, and I'll be happy to talk with you. You will be in good hands while I'm gone. Angela will be speaking next week, and you'll have a lot going on, and I'll see you on the first Sunday in October. All I can say is keep up the good work. Tell your story. When you have the right to tell it, you tell it. And don't be ashamed of that. Let's pray.